Welcome to another episode of Meet Me at the Library, the podcast that talks about programs and resources at Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library. I'm Jeff Gavin, a librarian at North County Regional Library, which is currently closed for renovations, so I'm working with the digital branch. In this episode of Meet Me at the Library, we'll be talking about making movies through programs at Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library. The library has developed a mutually beneficial relationship with the Charlotte Unconventional Film School, which has opened up opportunities for both organizations that will benefit the public directly and without cost. With us today, we have Julie McElmurray. Julie is the executive director of the Unconventional Film School in Charlotte, North Carolina. We also have Seth Irvin. Seth is the chief innovation officer for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library System and works here at Main Library in downtown Charlotte, which is where we're recording from. Check www.cmlibrary.org/branches for more information on library locations and phone numbers. Seth, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. My name's Seth Irvin. I've worked for the library in a lot of different capacities for about 10 years. Kind of got started working with teens, and then I worked in children's. Then I worked in the collection department where we bought all the books and resources and databases. And then I was the director of technology for a little brief amount of time. But now I am the chief of innovation, which is a brand new role, which I get to define, which is kind of fun to have a brand new job that nobody else has had. And so my goal with this role is to kind of bring new things into the library, both for our customers, but also for our staff, and in terms of training and exposure to different things. And really about, one of my goals is to really just open up the library as a platform for other organizations and other people's success. And so some of what we're talking about is that very effort with the Charlotte Unconventional Film School. But I'm a North Carolinian for life. I was born in Statesville up in Iredell County. Yeah. So Charlotte's the big city. Still feels pretty big to me.
How about a fun fact?
Fun fact? 2004, I spent the summer working as a pirate on Captain Nemo's pirate cruise.
Really?
You can Google that. That's a real thing. And it is it's a boat that looks like a pirate ship, dressed up like a pirate, and talked like a pirate.
Really?
And I've spent the whole summer in there. I got an earring. That earring is long gone, but it was like, it was a great summer.
So you were actually pierced?
I was pierced.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And my eyebrows became so blonde, they disappeared. Like,
really?
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was in the sun.
Yeah, so. Gotcha. So where is this ship?
It's in Clearwater Beach, Florida, and it was great training grounds to be a children's librarian. I had no idea at the time.
But, yeah. Good. Julie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina near Cherokee. Best part of the state. I also always grew up thinking of Charlotte as the big city, but now I'm a Charlottean by marriage. Lived here 4 years now, and I started the Charlotte Unconventional Film School about almost 2 years ago, and it kind of came out of a brainstorming session where I realized I wish that I had a place to go locally that I could learn from local film pros and get better at my craft. And I figured there were other people around, other adults who also wanted to get better at filmmaking. So I started inviting local film pros and other adults to come together and do classes and workshops. And so we've been doing that for, like I said, almost 2 years now.
Okay, cool. So why is the Unconventional Film School unconventional?
Well, for a little while, I just called it the Charlotte Film School. That was just long enough to print up a bunch of cards and pens and stickers. But shortly after that, I called it the Charlotte Unconventional Film School, just to give everyone that little hint that, okay, this isn't what I have in mind when I think of a film school.
Okay.
Because sometimes, I mean, I think we can say phrases and words, and people have a whole lot of associations with those already. So I kind of wanted to mix it up for people so they stop a minute and wonder, well, what is it about it that's different? Obviously, I know that a film school is typically a four-year program that's super intensive, and you're in school all day, every day for years and years. But when it comes to adult education, that model does not work for 99.999999% of people. Mm-hmm. So what we can do instead is offer short workshops here and there that fit with people's work schedule. Maybe they can come to one or two, or ideally everything that we have to offer. And the idea is that it's not this huge time commitment of years and years, because again, with adult education, it's really up to the person to be learning on their own. And now, mm-hmm. thanks to the internet, there's a million ways you can learn whatever skill you're looking to build. And thanks to the library, you can check out books.
Oh, we're pro internet here, Julie. It's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
I was going to say too, what I like about the Charlotte Unconventional Film School, Jeff, is that idea that we can open up this knowledge to our community through other community experts was really appealing to me. Mm-hmm. Both from just a core belief that I've seen in getting to know Julie, is that she really believes that anybody can make a movie. Okay. I think that's a very pro-library
kind of
feeling, right. And belief. But also, the idea of access is really important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are able to go to film school, you know, typically have just more privilege, you know, and this mm-hmm. is about kind of equalizing that and saying, you know what, you don't necessarily have to do that. There are resources in your community, there are resources here at the library, and if you have a dream, you should pursue it, and I think that's a really good thing to invest in.
Yeah. The I can.
That's right. I can make a move.
Julie, tell us, can you describe some of the growth or how the unconventional school is expanding or growing?
CUFS, the Charlotte Unconventional Film School, or CUFS, which all the cool kids call it.
Oh, okay.
And everybody's a cool kid. CUFS started almost 2 years ago. This is our third semester. That's just how I think is in terms of semesters. Mm-hmm. We had our beginnings in May of 2017, and I started using the tool called meetup.com. It's a way that people find like-minded people to meet up together, do events, do workshops, or fun activities. So I just started using that and posting, hey, let's meet at a coffee shop and talk about getting into film festivals. Let's meet at a coffee shop and talk about budgeting or grants.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I had 100 events in our first year. A lot of those were those kinds of gatherings, just to gather people together and get conversation going. And what's cool is sometimes you'd see the same people come to stuff over and over again. So we had a bit of a core community of people built up, but always there were new people coming to stuff. Last spring was our first semester, as I call it, even though we don't have semester-long classes. Mm-hmm. I just kind of think of years in terms of semesters.
Right.
So our first semester was last spring. We had about 10 people take 12 classes together, and then we had other students who would come and just take one or two classes here and there. So that was our first semester. Our second semester was last fall, and we had fewer than 10 classes, and those might have 5 or 6 people coming out to those. In addition to the classes, though, I've always continued to have the social kind of, not just social, but I've continued to have, let's meet a coffee shop and talk mm-hmm. about this and that, or let's go to this special, extra special film screening that's happening in town of a rare movie that people aren't going to be able to see otherwise. So I've continually had those kind of events also. Thanks to the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library, we have this awesome partnership happening in the community rooms of various branches mm-hmm. of the library all over the county, and I am like so impressed every time we go to a new library and mm-hmm. the rooms are beautiful, new, clean, spacious, comfortable. It's so nice to have big spaces for our events.
Great.
And for these classes to be free to the public, it means we have 50, 60 people coming out to these.
Right.
And I know that we'll have even more coming as time goes on. And it's been really exciting to see so many new people coming through the door. There's a few people that joined us our first and second semester, but lots of new people that mm-hmm. I find most people tend to be in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
And I find that most people either studied this stuff once upon a time, and they feel a little sheepish because maybe the technology has changed, but I know for a fact the technology's gotten easier and more consumer-friendly, it's just easier to use now. But
yeah.
A lot of people feel sheepish, like they haven't touched anything in years and years.
Okay.
Other people, this is their lifelong dream to come and study this stuff. So what's great about, there's a lot of things that are great about adult education. One of my favorite parts is just how happy and grateful everyone is to be there, because we know that to be able to sit in front of a professional is a pretty rare experience to be able to be a student.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you're going right through school all the way, you don't really appreciate it as much. But as we get out into the world and we're working and raising families, when we have those opportunities to sit and be with somebody who wants to teach us and share stuff with us, it's rare, and so people get really excited about that. So it's just been neat just to look around the room and see everyone is so attentive, and I mean, our teachers are excellent teachers,
mm-hmm.
and they all want to be there, and they're excited to be there. Same with the students. The students, they put this on their calendar sometimes a couple months in advance, so everybody is like, just, there's a lot of great energy in the room and excitement.
Yeah. Do you want to give us an overview? Tell us what those programs were and how they went?
Yeah, definitely. We had 10 programs, so we can just kind of name off who the teachers were and what their topics were. For all of these, we were absolutely thrilled with the turnout. We had an average of 60 people, 60 local adults come to every class, so that was really awesome. And we had these at several libraries around town that were very kind hosts, and I mean, I can't think of a better place to have had these classes this past spring. But yeah, Seth and I can go through and talk about these classes that we had.
Sure. We kicked it off at Hickory Grove Library on the 12th of January with Secrets to Making a Successful Film, and Kima Mingo actually presented that one. That was a really great beginning, and
yeah.
I think it really set the tone for the rest of the, I'm going to call it the semester of the spring for these library programs. So she did an excellent job.
Then we had Josh Overbay. He taught for us twice. So the first time he taught was Getting Your Indie Film Made, an overview, some logistics, and just kind of getting people in the right frame of mind who had thought about making a film before, but maybe they needed an organized way to contemplate what that's going to be like. And the great thing is both of these first ones were in January, when people are in the mood to start something new,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like anything's possible. So people were super enthusiastic at these, and it was a great time of year for us to start these programs for sure.
And then it was followed up by Audio Production for Filmmakers by Michael Quigley. And that's actually one of the things that you see in indie film a lot, is you might have a really clear picture, but the audio sounds like and you can really say that's not a professional production. You can identify that really quickly as a viewer. And so, much to Julie's credit, I think highlighting audio being such an important piece of modern film making was a really good choice. But then we followed up with Rodney Stringfellow, which was a screenwriting workshop at our West Boulevard Library location. This past October, when I was thinking about bringing in the Charlotte Unconventional Film School,
mm-hmm.
we actually had Rodney come to our University City branch, where he led a whole four-hour intensive on screenwriting.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew, man, Julie's bringing in quality local experts in the film scene. Let's book a whole series of this. So Rodney did an excellent job on the 16th. And then we had, was it Chuck Bloodsworth?
Yeah, we had Chuck Bloodsworth, who taught Intro to Cinematography for Narrative Filmmaking. Now, of course, all of these you could dedicate a lifetime to studying, but this was a great overview and introduction. He got into some nuts and bolts for us. He's a local person that works professionally in film. He's traveled all over the world, yet he's been able to make his home in Charlotte and raise his family here. So another great teacher, and he showed some of his own work, and that was a jumping off point for the discussions that day. People really love that when we're able to see the person's work.
Right.
Our next two programs, we had directing by Josh Overbay again, and then casting and location scouting by Chip White. And can you tell us a little bit about Chip Julie?
Yeah, well, Chip White is another person who lives here in Charlotte. He's originally from North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He's also had a career that's taken him all over the world to Los Angeles for many years, and we're lucky that he lives here now. I've seen several of his projects that he's done in the past few years, and all of them are just absolutely mind-blowing. He's so talented. So he was kind enough to teach us casting and location scouting. And what's great is in the room you have people who have never even stepped foot into this world of filmmaking before. You have everyone from that to people who have been making their own local independent films for quite a while. So he was able to teach to both of those levels in the audience.
Great. And then we had this is near and dear to Julie's heart, making a short documentary by the Blooms, Ruben and Kathleen. It was really fun. Plaza Midwood, their community room, though it is nice, is very small. And I think it was packed out with 30 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a really good turnout as well.
And then we had, this was great. In the Beatty's Ford Regional Library, which, like all of them, has an awesome meeting space, we were able to have The Brilliance of Bollywood Movies presented by Dr. Ananda Mitra. He's a professor at Wake Forest University. I've known him for several years after I used to work at Wake Forest, so I wrote him just asking if he knew of somebody who might be able to teach a class on this, and he volunteered that he would be happy to do that. So he gave us a really awesome overview that day and showed lots and lots of clips, which again, we all enjoy that. It's great to learn a little bit about filmmaking by actually seeing things played out. So he had a action-packed day. Nice crowd came to that. People who hadn't necessarily come to our earlier events. So I was happy that that brought in a lot of new people that day.
Yeah, and I loved highlighting just kind of the various different viewpoints, different cultures, highlighting the art from a different kind of flavor of cinema. I mean, it's definitely awesome, mm-hmm. and it should happen in the libraries. And then finally, I think we just had an awesome end piece to this series, and that was when we brought in Mike Collins and Tommy Tomlinson, who are both now at WFAE. They are definitely Charlotte famous, I would say, and so kind of bringing in these two kind of Charlotte icons to talk about interviewing and how do you do it, and mm-hmm. the different, they both had, I mean, it was a really interesting conversation because they've got two different takes on how to do a good interview, but it was really fascinating.
And with all of the different teachers we had, some of them are actually college professors, so they teach professionally every day. Some of them have not taught very much, but obviously they're really good at their craft. And so it was neat to see that they felt comfortable and felt the freedom that we give them in those few hours to teach the way that makes sense to them. And, you know, we work with them and talk to them in advance about what's going to work best. And so some people were a little unsure about their skills because they didn't have a lot of experience teaching, but every single one of them knocked it out of the park and was able to open it up to Q&A, and they know the answer to every question right before we're even done asking it. But it was so great to have that forum, and I think that's what's unique about this series is that even though some of us are self-taught and you can learn a lot online reading books, there's nothing quite like having an actual professional person there teaching you and then who's available for you to ask questions of. So that was one of my favorite parts, was the Q&A yeah. that everybody would do.
Good. So I understand that the Unconventional Film School is going to have programs coming up in the library.
That's right. And what's great about my job in the innovation side of the library, Julie was very much what I would call a very successful prototype. It showed a couple things. The library's got a community media strategy that we are actively prototyping against, and Julie was just one mm-hmm. part of that. And so this idea of bringing community experts to lead our programming, bringing aligned community organizations like the Charlotte Unconventional Film School, allowing them to have access to the library's platform mm-hmm. and networking and marketing to bring the community in, That's part of that strategy. But what I'm really excited about, and this is not any discredit to the spring sessions, we're really trying to pivot and continue the learning, albeit making it very much more hands-on. Mm-hmm. And so my goal at the end of this, and we've got several I think we have several dishes on top of the stove at the same time, but our goal at the end of this is to really kind of create an environment where these learners, whether they attended the spring programming or not, or just jumping in the fall, have an environment where they can learn how to make their own movie. Mm. And then what I'm really excited about is my hope is that the library will be involved in kind of archiving that work and keeping it on our digital branch and our CM library and our kind of our archives for future generations. That's really the activity I want to see the library start to be in.
So you want to do like a hands-on lab type class instead of...
Yeah, and part of that is it's still going to be driven by the Charlotte Unconventional Film School, but we're coming in the library to support these programs with new kits that we can, that we'll be able to check out to the public. Much like our podcast kits are available for people to check out, we're going to have cell phone video kits because, you know, everybody's got a cell phone nowadays, so why not use it to make a movie? So that will come with a motorized gimbal and another audio recorder, very similar to what we have in our podcast kits.
Okay. What does the gimbal do, Seth?
The gimbal, like, uses your phone, puts a special app on your phone, and then it basically stabilizes your video. Okay. So it's a device that you hold in your hand, and it's motorized, and it holds your cell phone. And for those listening, I'm demonstrating with my hand. You can't see it. I'm so sorry. But it really just kind of helps keep the video smooth. It allows you to do pans. It allows you to zoom in very nice. It makes it look more professional than if...
So the hand's not shaking while you're videoing.
That's exactly.
Yeah. In the fall, we have, as Seth put it, three main things on the stovetop here. And what we're hoping to make is, like he said, an environment where people are actually putting this stuff into action and making stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's always the scary part. Sometimes we just think, well, gee, if I would just learn this one more thing or attend this one more thing, then I'll be ready to do it. But we know that people are ready to at least get started. And for myself, I've always thought of it like my first 10 films are really my learning process. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I have a feeling my films will be kind of at a different level. So we want to get people to be making those first few movies, almost like get those out of the way so they can start leveling up and just improving what they're doing. And I think a lot of people learn by doing. So with each one, it's just going to get that much better the next time. Right. And with each one, they're going to know what to be Googling, what to be learning, what their questions are. It's hard to just sit still and ponder all this in a theoretical way and then know what you're supposed to learn next. It's much easier to actually do it and then realize all the things that you still need to learn. So we have, in the fall, we have, and these dates will be announced soon, but we have 4 Saturdays over the course of the fall. We call it a semester at different libraries. We're going to have a hands-on make a movie one-day workshop. We'll actually have a pro filmmaker with us that day who's going to lead us through filming a one-page script, so probably with 2 actors. Pretty simple setup, but we're actually going to film a movie that day. And then we're going to have a hands-on make your first short documentary. That'll be offered over the course of 4 weeks in a row on a weeknight. And then the next one is telling stories for the screen with Rodney Stringfellow, who's just an outstanding teacher. And it's been great to, he's one of those teachers who it's just great to sit back and watch everybody react to him because they're taking it all in. And he's helping us see things in new ways. He's helping to demystify stuff. And a lot of the teaching that goes on, the teacher's intent, library's intent, our intent is to demystify all of these skills so that people realize this is something that they can do also. Because so often we think that certain things are meant for just the elite, like people who have, you know, who have been chosen to do this kind of thing. But this is all about like us choosing ourselves and not sitting around waiting for somebody else to come to town and maybe hire us or maybe not. No, this is about us learning how to do stuff and making the movies that we want to make that would not be made otherwise.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the reasons I felt so strongly about partnering with Julie and the Charlotte Unconventional Film School, is just this idea and belief, which is very library, that anybody can make a movie, make a podcast, be a handyman, you know, insert your idea with the right resources, with the right training. And I think, you know, at least on the innovation side, the library is really, I really want to see a culture of filmmaking and a culture of making just in general in the city.
Sure.
There's no reason why it couldn't happen, and the library wants to be a part of that.
Julie's got the I can mentality.
Yeah,
she
definitely
does. She's got the I can mentality.
Yeah, I've got my library card right on my keychain there. So I'm glad you brought that up, because actually the library has bought a bunch of books, added books to the collection, which are about filmmaking. So they've put all that together online so people can search through it. But that's something else I really want to get the word out about, that there's, you know, you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars to buy all these books. Like, the library has all that. And of course they have access to online learning. So there's classes people can take online offered through
Lynda.com. Which is, that would cost you a bunch, but it's free if you got a library card. So anybody listening, get your library card, check out Lynda.com. And I mean, they've got stuff for all sorts of stuff, not just filmmaking, coding, marketing, all sorts of cool skills. I wish I had the time to level up all that for me myself.
That would be nice.
But I got library work to do.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't want to keep you from that.
So how did the library become involved with the Charlotte Unconventional Film School?
It's a great question. The library has been, or at least the innovation side, a.k.a. me, we've been thinking about how to best position our institution to support creators, to support makers. And so that extends from everything from people you would see in our makerspace using the idea box to rapidly prototype something on a 3D printer, to stuff Julie's doing with film, that kind of thing, with arts. And so I was trying to think, you know, what would be a good prototype of an outside organization that has an arts focus, that would bring something that is typically not that accessible to the masses.
Okay.
And when I bumped into Julie a couple times, and I felt like the second time I bumped into you was completely random, and I was like, okay, I guess the universe wants me to work with Julie. And so I just take my cues from the universe, and I paid Julie to come and do one class, and it was a really good showing. It really impressed me, and I said, okay, we're going to do a full semester of this.
Okay.
So can you specifically tell us what we want to get out of this relationship?
Sure. A couple things from my end. I think one is the library is kind of developing its muscles on hosting other experts in our community, making way, making space, and creating an environment where community experts can come in and use our platform, both our digital platform, but also kind of our 20 branches as a springboard for their own mission. You know, our mission as the library is to improve lives and build a stronger community. I love that mission because in that, we affect individuals who come in every day, giving them resources and access and guidance on their information needs. But it's the building the stronger community part that I think is really what this program and other programs like it are trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's by creating this environment where like-minded learners are coming together to explore a subject they're really passionate about. So I'm really, really proud of this program, really, really grateful for Julie and for Cuffs and what they're doing here in the library setting.
Okay. And you used the correct acronym.
Yeah.
Cuffs.
It's a cool kid.
I know.
I can answer that too if you want.
Sure. Go ahead.
I've been excited to partner with the library because it is definitely important to us to make this something that is not just this mystery that's kept in a box that only a few people get to open.
Right.
We want as many people as possible to learn real skills that they need and have real tools and build relationships with other people in the room, because those are probably the people they're going to be making movies with. So that's a big emphasis of what we do, is make sure people are talking to each other, exchanging contact information. Sometimes you go to a class and you just watch the instructor the whole time, and you kind of forget, oh, there's people around me with the same interest. So that's something that at the beginning we say that, during the break we say that, and at the end we say that. And inevitably people are hanging out after the class is over for 30 minutes or an hour talking to each other. So that's one of my favorite moments. The library is closed at 5, so we've asked people to kind of shuffle outside, but the conversation is continuing on the sidewalk, and people are starting to exchange numbers, ask the teacher questions that have occurred to them, and inevitably these teachers, they don't treat this like it's secret, private, arcane knowledge that only a few people have access to. They treat this like this is an open book, and and I think that's the library is all about, has always been about that, is sharing information and knowledge out there for people so that it's not just for an elite few people. So one of the best parts about this partnership with the library is just the numbers of people we've been able to educate and get them excited and encourage them. Our numbers are pretty great. We've had about 500 people as part of our meetup as of last summer, and that was after 1 year. And now after just these few months of this partnership with the library, that number is over 800 people. And that doesn't mean we see all those people. They don't all walk through that door. Certainly lots of them are taking advantage of what we have to offer now.
So what kind of movies are people making? Are they fiction or documentary?
Most people, as far as a first project would go, it would be a short and maybe something like 5 or 10 minutes. And I think that at least of 2 or 3 people working together would make the best possible movie.
Okay.
I'm interested in documentary, but most people are not. They're interested in narrative pieces, and that's great. And so most of what we offer can also apply to those few people interested in documentary. But really, it's with the knowledge that most people, you know, they are there for the action and the creativity that fiction filmmaking can bring to us. So that's great.
All right. So there is a big focus on fiction filmmaking.
As we sat down maybe halfway through this semester, we recognized that there are things that we can do as far as programming that are going to give people that little boost up and get them to actually put their hands on a camera, even if that camera is their cell phone.
Yeah.
That's fine. But just to get people to start making stuff. So I did not keep track of what came about as a result of people coming to these 10 classes. I know some people are knee-deep in indie filmmaking and always doing their own stuff, so maybe it was like a continuing ed class for them to be able to attend one or two as they saw fit. Other people were brand new at this and were there every single time for all 10 times. I know there's a family, a particular family with adult children, so the two children and their parents were coming, and they have a plan for a sci-fi story that's like nothing I ever heard before. But they were sitting in the front, taking notes, asking lots of questions. That's the thing that I think we didn't really keep track of yet. So we're going to keep track of that, and we're going to also just continue to equip people so that with these hands-on workshops, so they're actually working on a movie for a day with a pro. Right. And learning that way. And then through the documentary filmmaking workshop we're going to do, by the end of that, people are going to have a movie. Maybe it'll be 2 or 3 minutes long, but that's okay. There's plenty of room for short content like that. Plenty of people online are looking for just that. And even film festivals, they have room, more likely to have room for your 3-minute movie than your 45-minute movie, in fact. So there is an audience out there, even if it's really short.
Okay. I can tell you, Jeff, from our data, we did a lot of surveys on the semester of just customer reaction. And I mean, every session, it was in the high 90s. I learned something new. I intend to apply what I learned to my own project. So at least from the data we were able to gather, the intent was there that they wanted to leverage what they learned. And that's an exciting thing to have data that points us that way. But I echo what Julie says. If we can... We really want one of our students to kind of level up and make a movie, and then we can say, look at that.
And like we said, maybe that's already happened. We just haven't kept track of that yet. So we're going to be keeping better track of that so we can say to the world, hey, look what this person learned, and we can really showcase their work.
Right. And if Julie makes another movie, that will also be coming out of this program series.
I'm making a movie this afternoon. In fact, on my own.
Great.
All right. If somebody makes a movie, let's say, they do finish it, what can they do with it?
Well, Julie could probably speak to to this more than I can, but I mean, there are tons of film festivals that you can enter your work into. It's about making connections. It's about getting your work out there,
mm-hmm.
showcasing your talents and skills. There's a whole segment of the arts community that really embraces indie film. And I went to school at UNC Wilmington growing up, and that was a huge film community at the time. And they had a film festival every year.
Mm.
You know, there's several film festivals here in Charlotte as well. Maybe one day we'll have a library film festival. We'll see.
Okay.
That'd be something cool to
see.
That
sounds good.
Yeah.
Now, YouTube, if you get a certain number of views on YouTube, don't they start paying you?
Yes, it has to be a heck of a lot of views. So I don't really know all the details of that. Recently, YouTube kind of favored their really high popular people more than just the hundreds of thousands of people that are pretty darn popular.
Yeah.
So it's hard to make a living off of YouTube. On the other hand, I personally have found YouTube to be extremely useful way to put my movies in front of lots of people's
mm-hmm.
eyes. So the last two movies I've made, and I'm self-taught, so the last two are definitely better technically than the first three.
Okay.
But they've been seen by 10,000 people.
Yeah.
And something cool that YouTube does, as we all know, is it has suggested videos. So maybe you just watched one about how to tie your shoelaces. So the next video that comes up is kind of related to that.
Sure.
So that's where a lot of my views end up coming from. And so that's what's just so great about doing this in the year 2019 is my two movies have been seen by 10,000 people. I mean, once upon a time, like who could do that? Even if you got into lots of great film festivals, that's cool, but that's what, a couple hundred
yeah.
people. What's great about the technology is just how accessible everything is to people. And I think someone doesn't have to make a technically perfect film, although the audio should be pretty near perfect for people to want
mm-hmm.
to watch it. But it doesn't have to be a perfect film, especially if it's original, because there's some niche of people out there that if you're interested in something and you want to make a movie about it, there is some niche out there that
mm-hmm.
is just waiting for you to come along and create that for them. And I think a lot of people are really afraid to put themselves out there and create. I think the dark side of the internet and social media is that everyone jumps down each other's throat at the smallest sign of weakness or a
mm-hmm.
misstep or making some mistake. So unfortunately, what that means is sometimes people are afraid to put themselves out there. If we can encourage people to draw from that creativity, and creativity also is not something that lives in a little metal box. Only a few people have a key to it. We all are creative. So I think this partnership with the library, libraries in general, our film school, everything is kind of geared toward helping people remember that they are creative and they have that inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, hey, like the world is waiting to see what you come up with because nobody else is going to come up with that. I would say our goal is to give people tools they need to be able to express that creativity that's within them.
Yeah, that's very well said. I don't know if I can beat that, but I think that's why we're making that investment. Is we want people to express themselves and feel like they can,
right.
that they're allowed to.
Yeah.
And you know, in this age of where perfection is mandated by social media, what I would say to add to that is like the only way we learn is by doing.
Sure.
You know, sometimes those mistakes we make are exactly what we need
mm-hmm.
to refine our craft and become better people. But if we sit back and just consume, you know, we never learn anything.
Right.
And I think that's kind of that's more of the sad, dark reality. We don't engage with the world and create what we need to create while we're here.
Mm-hmm.
That just means we were consuming.
Plus, we can edit our mistakes.
That's right. We sure can. That's why they make pencils with erasers, right?
There you go. Old school.
That's
pencils.
Right.
So, Julie, if you would like, tell us about your current project that I understand you're working on, maybe, and maybe some of your past projects.
Yes. So, February 1st, I got back from a trip to Montana. I got to spend a week at Montana's only monastery.
Hmm.
And film them, interview the women who live there, interview people who know them that that have gotten to know them over the years and go to the monastery for various events and stuff. So I got to spend a week living with them, eating meals with them. It was really great. And I've never seen so much snow in my life, so that was kind of cool too. And so anyway, February 1st, I got back here, and basically every spare moment of February, I've spent editing this movie.
Okay.
I had about 9 interviews, about an hour long each, and I filmed lots of extra stuff, people shoveling snow, people cooking meals, people, it's a monastery, so people at prayer together. And I've just spent this month sorting through that and trying to build a story that I think is interesting and gives people a snapshot of their life, because a lot of people don't realize you can go visit a place like that and be welcomed. So this is like a virtual way to let people know that, give people a glimpse into their life. And so I get to go back to Montana in a few weeks to show it at the monastery.
Oh, okay, great.
And I've made some good connections with people that are going to make sure it gets seen all over the state of Montana. And then again, YouTube is going to be a home for this movie that I'm sure a lot of people are going to come across it, because there's that niche out there that is interested in monastery life, and then people interested in this aspect of Montana, even people who live there, might not know there's a monastery there. So I'm excited to see what the reactions are from people.
Okay. And what's on YouTube already?
So I'm not a perfectionist, which means that I'm not a person that's going to go back and fix all my mistakes from my first movies, because in their own way, I think it's just kind of endearing now as I go back and look and see my mistakes. And the cool thing is, when we see our art from years ago and maybe we're a little sheepish or cringe about it, it just means that we've learned a lot since then. So all my movies are online for free. The website is called Franciscan Passages, FranciscanCan. Franciscan Passages, so people can see my first 5 movies there, and then my 6th movie will be up there in a few weeks also.
Okay, great. Okay, so can you tell us, how do we find out when and where the courses are taking place?
If you go to our website, cmlibrary.org, and go to the little search bar on the site and type in Make a Movie.
Okay.
You'll see the Make a Movie workshops kind of come up on the website, and you can kind of see everything that we've got planned.
All right. So. Great. Make a Movie.
Make a Movie.
All right. Is there anything else either of you would like to add?
No, I just encourage everybody who's listening to check out Charlotte Unconventional Film School and the Make a Movie workshop program running in the library.
So. All right. Awesome.
Thank you for having us, and I'd just like to give a special thanks to the library for helping us and working with us to make all of this accessible to people, and so that lots of people are coming through the doors, and like I said, this might be a lifelong dream for some people to be able to sit and learn this and then pursue this. So I think that a lot of people's dreams are coming true through this, so I really appreciate that attitude of the library that says that can do this stuff.
Okay. Thanks, Julie. Thank you for joining us for Meet Me at the Library. We hope you've enjoyed this program. I want to thank our guests, Julie and Seth. Look for upcoming episodes of Meet Me at the Library on the digital branch at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. You can visit our website at www.cmlibrary.org. Don't forget to check the library's calendar and resource pages. And you can check out the Charlotte Unconventional Film School at unconventionalfilm.com. And you can find the library on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, hashtag CMLibrary and at CMLibrary. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.